fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. We always look forward to our regular weekly visit with NFL Hall of Famer, NFL Network analyst Michael Irvin. Michael, brought to you by the VA New England Healthcare System, serving those who served. Hello, Michael. How are you today?
Man, I'm doing well, guys. How are you guys?
Doing good. Great, thank you. We always start with Thursday night football. Boy, the Packers seem to be a bit of a mess, don't they?
Yeah, well, and that was a good game last night now because they started strong. And I said, oh, my God. You know, I thought it would always happen when everybody picks one team, the other team win. They pick up that early fumble, and then they cash it in and get a touchdown. And I thought, oh, boy, here we go. Somewhere in every season, the Packers get a turn. But that turn didn't come. I mean, Seattle just kept going, and started running the ball well and just gassed them. I thought, you know, Frank Gore gassed them last week. And then last night, Seattle gassed them with those young guys.
Do you think this could be the year that the Packers make a coaching change at the end of the season?
I mean, that's everybody's talking about that. I mean, we've heard the rift between these two, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Coach McCarthy. But, yeah, but that's a hard call to make. The guy's had so much success in Green Bay. Of course, he's fallen short of winning a whole bunch of Super Bowls. And the people over there in New England is what he's measured by. So, you know, then now they're talking about all of the rift that's going on between Aaron and Coach and the little barbs that goes back and forth. So that'll be interesting. But I'm going to tell you this. If they do, before his second step hits the ground, he will already have many offers. I mean, so when he walks out the door, he hit the first step out the door. Before his second step hit the ground, he'll have all kind of offers at other head coaching jobs.
Michael, a couple of weeks ago, you were part of the broadcasting team when the NFL was in London. This week, the Monday Night Football game was supposed to be in Mexico City. It got moved back to Los Angeles because the field was just completely unplayable. As a general rule of thumb, do you like these games outside of the United States?
I love them, man. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, I love that game in London. I absolutely love the game in London. I told you, we sat around and we counted. Because the London fans, they all come to the game, but they're coming representing whatever team that they've been watching and loving. You know, they'll come because it's only live football they got. But it took us 4 minutes and 39 seconds to count all 32 jerseys walking by. Is that serious or not? 4 minutes and 39 seconds to count all 32 jerseys as they walked by. And I was like, oh, my God, there's no way the NFL leaving this money on the table. They got the hooks of people like this right here. There's no way. You know, it was just a great time over in London, man. And I wanted to see the game go in Mexico. But the field was horrific. Kudos to the NFL for making a decision and not feeding us the hypocrisy of safety being so important and then making a guy play on that field because they want to expand their brand and make more money and throw all of that out the window. You guys see that field?
Oh, yeah. Awful. Just terrible. Yeah.
I'm like, that Little League couldn't even play on that field.
Right.
That's what a Little League team couldn't play on that field where you would feel safe. Let alone talk about NFL. I should even say that backwards, huh? We should let the grown-ups play and really not let the kids play. Maybe I said that backwards.
We got you.
You know what I mean.
Yes.
You know what I mean, right? You know what I mean.
Now, going back to the Patriots' loss to the Titans, is that to you just a bad week for the team, or is there something more to it?
Well, a little bit of both. A little bit of both. I do believe that if you played that game 10 times, the Patriots come out winning 8 of them. But I do believe also that Mike Vrabel has something. There's something to a physical football team playing New England. A physical football team. You got to be physical. You got to run the ball hard to beat New England. And if I'm coaching anybody else in this league right now, listen to what I'm doing. I'm throwing out all game film of anybody and everybody else. I'm only watching the Detroit game film because I want to watch a man that has coached against that offense all these years. And then I want to watch the Tennessee film because I want to watch a man that has played against that offense and practiced a lot of years. That's all I'm going to watch. everything I need to learn about New England, I'm going to get out of these two films. All the other stuff, I'm throwing out the window.
Talking to NFL Network analyst Michael Irvin, Rob Gronkowski has missed the last 4 weeks, well, will be 4 weeks by the time if he can play against the Jets a week from Sunday. I get the feeling watching it, Michael, that he's close to being ready, but they just want him to feel confident he's 100% ready. They even said that if it was a playoff game last weekend, he would have played.
Right. And that kind of lends back to what we were talking about also, that, okay, and you did take Tennessee a little lightly because you knew if that was Kansas City they were playing, you think Gronk would have played? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If that was the Rams they were playing, and you know, Gronk would have played. You see what I mean? So they went in thinking we should be able to take their Tennessee, and Gronk, you kind of iffy, just kind of chill. And then we'll let you go into the bye week, and then we'll get all these weeks in. We'll see. But if they were playing Kansas City or Pittsburgh, one of those teams, he would have tried himself on out there. Now, guys, I hope I didn't put my mouth on Gronk, because from the moment I shared with y'all that I think Kelce has taken the lead as the top tight end in the league, yeah, it seems like Gronk has turned in another direction here.
He didn't like hearing that, Michael. I don't think he liked hearing that. I thought I was going to motivate him. I kind of went the other way.
I put my mouth, and then I started looking around. I was like, wait a minute. I started hearing everybody say this. I said, they're listening to me on EEI, and they're taking my stuff and running. Just stop that right there. That's what everybody must be listening. Because from that time I said it, every time I turned on, because, you know, you watch everything.
Sure.
You listen to everybody. You're trying to get as much as you can. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. They weren't even having this conversation, and now everybody's having it. But trust me, when you get Gronk back, that's a big addition, because he just gives you that something. And maybe that's what Tennessee matched up and got physical with everybody else. But that's the one odd matchup that's hard to match up to, and that's the Gronk matchup.
How do you think Tom Brady has played through this point? You know, the team's 7-3. They're in first place, and I know they're coming off a bad performance. But overall, if you look at the 10 games, you know, he was the MVP a year ago. Have you seen a major difference between the two seasons?
Now, is he playing as well as he played? Yeah, sure. We'll all say no to that. But the word you stuck in there was, have you seen a major difference? After saying the man is 7-3. You know, so he's 7-3 right now. You're still top of the division. You know, you're falling behind Pittsburgh and all of that, and as far as seeding goes. But you're still top of the division. Yeah, he has played as well as he played last year. But I won't say it's a major difference. I think everybody is looking for that turn in Tom, and we got a microscope on it. We have a microscope on it. Oh, my God. Did that ball hit the ground? Oh, man. When I watched them, we had a Thursday night game. I think it, whatever the score was. And all I needed Tom to do was give me that last first down and run the clock. I had a 31-18 or something like that. That's what the score was. But the third down went in the ground. And then Dean came back and got a field goal. I'm on the sideline. I said, man, Tom, man, what's going on with Tom? Same thing. I just want him to make me right. I'm doing the same thing. What's going on with Tom? There's nothing wrong. You know what I mean? You played those two teams that know you as well as anybody and has practiced against you as much as anybody, and they got the best of you. You played the last one without Gronk. Let's give them back Gronk and get it back going and see what we say.
You have told us in the past this season, you know, what a great wide receiver Josh Gordon is from a talent perspective. You've talked especially about his hands and being able to catch the ball with his hands the way he does. His catch-to-target ratio, though, is not that good. Is there a reason in particular, or is that just part of the package with him?
No, there's a reason to that. I always tell people there are two things here. And how often have you heard people talk about how difficult it is to pick up that offense? You know what I mean? To really learn that offense and understand that offense. And then when you're a wide receiver, rule of thumb here. This is rule of thumb. I don't care if you're the baddest man God built head to toe. This is rule of thumb. If you are leaving the huddle thinking about what route to run instead of leaving the huddle thinking about how to win on this route, you are in trouble. See, when you leave the huddle, when you get to play, bam, I have to be solid and understand exactly what my assignment is right now, soon as he spit it past his lip. And now, from the walk, from the huddle to my position on the field, my mindset cannot be thinking about, oh, what route do I run again? Okay, if he says sprint right six, Texas over, I think I got out. No, I think I got it. If you're doing that, you're going to lose. From the time I lead a huddle walk to, I got to be saying, okay, how do I win on this route? All right, I see the safety, take it back, this is cover two. All right, man inside, the corner inside, there's two men. All right, I got to take him down. You see, I got to lead the huddle thinking about how to win, not thinking about what to run. And I think what you're seeing is Josh still thinking about what to run instead of how to win. And when you're thinking about what to run, then you're thinking and not reacting, and you're playing a little slow, and it seems just a tick off. And I think that's what's happening with it.
It has not been a great first season for Matt Patricia as a head coach with the Lions. They're in last place right now, 3-6 to begin the year. And the latest thing that has popped up for Matt Patricia is he was getting some criticism. He held practice outside in the snow, despite the fact that the next four games are either indoors or in Arizona. Which side do you come down here?
It's the kind of stuff that makes you laugh, you know, because I understand what coach is doing. I really do. And I understand the sensibility of what the players are sitting there thinking, and people are sitting there saying, oh, my God, he's going crazy. What's going on? Jimmy did that. Jimmy did it. This is a mental tough thing. We don't want to hear about this. It was one thing. Let me tell you something. We had a practice one time at Miami. It was rainy, cats. I mean, just rain. You couldn't see. You couldn't see. We could not see. I swear this is a true story. And I remember Benny calling the play. Who said, "Hunt, I ran a slant route." And Jay Brown ran a slant route, and he threw it. You couldn't see the ball. And Andre dropped it. She was like, "Let's go do it again. Then we're going to get it. Damn it, get it right out here. We'll stay out here until we get it right." And he said, "Run it again. Run it again." And ran it again. And he still couldn't see the ball. And he said, "Did he catch it, coach? Did he catch it?" Everybody said, "Yeah." He said, "Okay, let's go." He lied. But he was trying to build the toughness in us, you know. Like, I don't care about the elements. I don't want to hear us complain about nothing. We will come out here and play football. And he was trying to set the tone that that's what we were. That's what we were going to do. And I'd imagine coach is trying to do some of the same thing. He wants to take control. He wants a tough team. Here, we should be talking about all of these elements. This is our problem. We're complaining about too much. Maybe we don't know how good we have it, but I understand those guys going crazy. Like, coach, come on now.
Playing inside, you know. The games are inside.
We're playing a dome, man. But, coach, hey, you got to let the man do what he thinks he needs to do to get the team there. And a lot of times, honestly, that's part of the weeding out process. I want to see the people that are here to play ball and love playing ball. I don't give a darn where we're playing it at. And then I want to see all the people that are going to complain because I'm putting you on a list, and as soon as I can, I'm shipping your butt out of here.
And apparently he began his press conference today 4 minutes talking about why they practice outdoors. So obviously he was feeling to the criticism. He just went up there 900 words. I guess they transcribed it, 900 words on why.
What was he saying? What did he say?
One of the main things for him was that he thinks that the turf is more dangerous than the grass outside. So even though it was cold and it was snowy, he thought some of the turf, like, that was one of the things he was talking about. Because it was a full padded practice. He thought it might add to joint swelling and things like that, apparently. Yeah, you're not buying it. Yeah, neither am I.
You remember that with a straight face?
I guess, yeah.
He didn't have a comedian up there by him or something. He was saying that, like, you know, this is, oh, God, that's incredible. That's incredible. You got to come up with something. But yeah, that's funny, man. That's funny. I can tell you that locker room, it was on fire.
Coming
out of that cold, it was on fire. And fire is an African-American colloquialism for fire.
I got it. Thank you. Yes.
They were hot. They were on fire. Not fire.
Nope.
Final question before we let you go. We mentioned they moved the Monday Night Football game to Los Angeles. It is the Rams and the Chiefs. It is 2-9-1 football teams. Is this the best game of the year so far?
The record says the best game of the year, yeah. And also, each offense says it should be the best game of the year. These are two explosive offenses, two young quarterbacks. This can be the new version of the Tom Brady-Peyton Manning fight that we had a chance to enjoy for so long. This could be the new version, this young Mahomes and Goff, because of the systems they're in, the coaches they're working with, the talent they got around them. We're looking, I know there's different conferences right now, but we may be looking at this here for quite a while. So this is a big game. I'm looking forward to it. Now, I do believe when I look it over, you know, offensively, if I say which offense you take, you probably right now, that's a hard pick. That's a hard pick, you know, which offense. But if I give Kansas City the offense, I'm surely definitely giving the Rams the defense. But that offense is a lot closer, certainly, than the defense is.
We always appreciate the time. Have yourself a great Thanksgiving, okay, Michael?
Hey, man, happy Thanksgiving to everybody, too. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys also.
Thanks, Michael. Bye-bye. That is Michael Irvin, NFL Hall of Famer, NFL Network analyst. He's on fire.
He's on fire. That locker room, on fire.
On fire.
I mean, they're practicing in the snow.
I mean, I sort of half understand Matt Patricia's explanation. Guys will tell you they hate the turf. And if you've got a grass practice field, I sort of half understand it. But if the grass practice field is covered with ice and snow, what difference is it from the turf?
I also feel like if your next four games are either indoors or in Arizona, which might as well be indoors, what are you really doing?
I mean, I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt here when I say this. He says, we're going to have a full padded practice. I don't want them banging around on that turf.
On the turf, but that's where you play.
I know.
You know, it's a weird thing. And I also, it's as simple as if they were 6-3, hey, look at him. What a tough guy. Like, oh, he's a real football coach. They're 3-6. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, what are you
doing? So that, again, he's gotten off to a bad start. He was yelling at the reporter the other day to sit up. And now it's just, it's kind of getting away from him, I think.
A four-minute prelude to a press conference.
Yes. So.
Has Bill Belichick ever spoken for four uninterrupted minutes ever? In his
maybe
entire history
about
here.
Johnny Hecker, the Rams punter.
Or Burt Jones.
Yeah, right. Like, so maybe, yes.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
It has not been a great first season for Matt Patricia as the head coach with the Lions. They're in last place right now, 3-6. He held practice outside in the snow, despite the fact that the next four games are either indoors or in Arizona. Which side do you come down here?
This is the kind of stuff that makes you laugh, you know?
Michael Irvin cracked himself up.
He liked that one.
I mean, it is. It's not quite as dramatic maybe as the Major Applewhite get that jacket off thing. And as I said, I can even somewhat see the argument. Somewhat.
Yeah.
But it's even, you got to be hard-pressed to even make the argument for him, don't you? I know.
I mean, especially when the next four games are not going to be in the weather at all. Like, you don't have to worry about it. In fact, they're indoor. Like, I don't know. Yeah, that's bad. Now, they do have a couple of weather games later on. They play at Buffalo and at Green Bay.
Got to be ready.
Later on. But the at Buffalo game is December 16th. So you have four games between now and then. So, yeah, that's a weird one. I felt this way early on, and I stand by it. I don't think Matt Patricia will coach a game for the Lions in year three. I don't think you'll see year three of that deal.
Yeah, I think that's probably because
they also went in with higher expectations. Like he didn't take over a team that was just a disaster. Like if you did that, you should give the guy more than 2 years to turn things around. But they were 9-7 each of the last 2 years with this quarterback, who's not terrible. So you have a good quarterback, even I would say, and a team that had a winning record for two straight seasons, made the playoffs 2 years ago. Like, no, you should be getting back to the playoffs, not being in dead last.
617-779-7937. Frank's in Northampton. As soon as I hit the right button here. Hey, Frank, how you doing?
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
Great. How are you?
I'm great. Great. So I have not heard anybody really talking about the fact that Tom took off, you know, the OTAs and all that, and all the extra time he's spending with his kids. You know, everybody's talking about he's older now and his arm's going limp, all of that crap. But how about the fact that the guy had all the answers to the test for all those years because he put in all that extra work? You know, nobody's mentioning that these days. I don't know.
So your point is that he's not doing that now?
He's not. He missed OTAs.
Oh, no. We've mentioned that.
The OTAs we've talked about.
I think there's something there.
My feeling has been from the moment he arrived, you know, at the beginning of training camp, it's been business as usual.
It has. But, you know, I saw something online the other day talking about his pregame rituals with his daughter. I just don't. There's little things that tell me he's not putting in that 110% commitment that he always has, you know, for the team.
I think he's had the same pregame rituals with his daughter for a while now.
Yeah, I was going to say, the in-season stuff, I don't think we would have any idea if it's the same, drastically different, slightly different.
I mean, my understanding from people down there is that, you know, he spends the same amount of hours in the facility as he always did. You know, he's doing the same amount of film study as he's always done.
I mean, think about it. He had the distraction of Tom versus Time and had that commitment and, you know, these side interviews that he wouldn't normally do, and he was the MVP of the league with all that. So
the OTAs is a valid argument.
That
part, and we've talked about that on a number of occasions.
Yes.
I don't have any evidence, haven't heard anything. I haven't even heard a whisper that, hey, you know, he's not working as hard now as he used to.
I don't buy that.
I don't either.
Now, listen, I think it's fair to question a lot because he doesn't look the same as he does last year.
Absolutely.
It's not dramatic. And then, you know, when I was asking Michael Irvin about it, I asked if there was significant change or whatever. And so it's not that. It's not the biggest extreme ever, but it is. It's not as good as he was a year ago or 2 years ago, you know, when he probably could have won the MVP that year too, had he played enough games.
By the way, among the games this weekend, and I'm sure you've looked at this, but
sure,
Philadelphia is in New Orleans on Sunday. And the reason this matters is that the Philadelphia Eagles, the defending Super Bowl champions, are 9-point underdogs going into the game on Sunday.
Yeah, they're not that good.
The last time the defending champions were as big an underdog as this was November 29th, 2009. The Pittsburgh Steelers were on a 2-game losing streak. They had Dennis Dixon at quarterback in place of Ben Roethlisberger. They went to Baltimore. The game opened with the Ravens a 9-point favorite in that game. The Philadelphia Eagles are a 9-point underdog as the defending Super Bowl champions.
Well, I mean, right now, they're not that good. They're 4-5, so they're 2 games back of the Redskins in the division. And when you look at the conference, it's really the Saints and Rams are kind of running away from everybody else. So the Eagles, they don't look like a playoff team right now.
Well, and
New Orleans has won 8 in a row. They're at home. I mean, they look as good as anybody. They're probably playing the best right now out of everybody.
And when Adam Schefter was on this morning on the Mutt and Callahan show, but it was Mutt and Reamer and Tomasi.
Yeah.
One of the things he said was he was talking to somebody in Philadelphia, didn't say who, but it sounded like the head coach to me, and saying that there was a renewed respect for what the Patriots have done. And this person said, I can tell you, the Super Bowl hangover is real.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, you think about how the Patriots, they win the Super Bowl, they lose the Super Bowl, they're still up at that upper echelon level. And there, at least this person in Philadelphia told Schefter, it gives me a renewed admiration for what they've been able to do.
It was Lane Johnson, wasn't it?
It might have been.
It was Lane Johnson.
It might
all
not be
this
having
time,
fun, but
wait a minute. This is a lot harder than we thought. We thought we could just show up again and we'd have the same guys and we'd have the same success. Yeah, that isn't, I don't think, factored in enough. It's not only that they, you know, the coach and quarterback, and they, you know, they've done it with different people and they're able to get back every year. But no, usually that next year, trying to either motivate people and also taking everybody's best shot. Like that is a real thing. Like every time they face the Eagles this year, like, oh, there's the Super Bowl champs, and now you're gonna play out of your mind.
Eddie's on the cell phone. Hey, Eddie.
Hey guys, so you know, I was listening to this guy that was just on a second ago, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, he's talking about Tom Brady's work ethic. I'll take Tom Brady's work. I'll take half of Tom Brady's work ethic over the rest of the quarterbacks in the NFL. I mean, nobody works as hard as this guy does. And if his game isn't up to par, it has nothing to do with the work that he's done in the offseason. I just don't buy it. I think it has more to do with the Patriots as a team not playing as well. But anybody who would ever question this guy's work ethic, there's something wrong with him. He needs to check himself.
Look, I happen to think he's probably doing everything he's ever done, Eddie. But to be fair, we don't know.
Yeah, we're not.
We don't know when he arrives. Sure. We don't know when he leaves. Yeah. I mean, we don't know. We assume that that's true, and I think it is.
But you know what he does? You know what he does? He goes to bed early at night.
Sure.
He doesn't live that wild, crazy life. He doesn't drink alcohol. He takes care of himself. When you know, Brady, he's, listen, I'm 58 years old. You can't keep going and going and going. I'm not going to be the same guy in 20 years from now, and neither is Brady. But you know what? The guy's not falling off the cliff. The reason why the Patriots are having trouble this year, because it's a team. If they have a problem with their team, it has nothing to do with Brady. Nothing at all.
Well, I mean, I agree with some of that, but I would say that usually it doesn't even matter what the team is, and you're still getting this unbelievable performance, right? Like, isn't that kind of what he's always been able to do? Is like, take whatever receivers, take whatever offensive line, and make the most out of it. And again, the overall numbers are pretty good compared to previous Tom Brady seasons. You know, he's had better years, obviously. He's had better quarterback ratings. He's had better yards per game, et cetera. But they're not overwhelmingly bad. It's really when you compare them to the rest of the league and you see the big jump that everybody is taking. Like, Drew Brees is completing 78% of his passes. That's outrageous. And I know product of that is just the offense that they run. But even still, he has one pick. Like, that's ridiculous. And some of the numbers that these guys are putting up around the league, you would have thought a guy like Tom Brady from a year ago would have also seen an increase, and it's actually gone the other way.
Are you a big fan of the red zone?
Oh, yeah.
Aren't we all?
Yeah, especially, red zone? Oh, yeah.
Especially
this is a good
on,
week
in
for
the bye week.
Yeah, yeah.
So they announced today Major League Baseball is having their own version of red zone next year.
See, I like this idea, and they tinkered with something a while ago. They did it during the first week of the season a couple of years ago, and they had something at night. I think it was maybe they'll even have the detail here. Was it only between like 9:30 and 10 or something?
They said it's going to be a live show each weeknight available to subscribers.
Ooh, each weeknight, wow.
Feature live look-ins to the best MLB action as it's happening. Whip around live MLB games to showcase the most suspenseful moments, yada yada. It sounds like Red Zone, which is kind of
I
what
like it
is.
Though. Baseball Red Zone? That can work.
Yeah, now it's D-A-Z-N. Is it pronounced Dazen? You know, it's D-A-Z-N. The old capitals. It's that new multimedia platform thing. Ooh. They're the ones who are doing this.
Okay.
They made the announcement with Major League Baseball. These are the same ones who've got the boxing thing. I think Chris Mannix now works for them.
Oh, does he? Okay.
Among others.
But this is good. I mean, this is because you're talking about – you know, because pace of play really hasn't been improved all that dramatically or really at all, I would say. But this is something that I think can help keep people's attention. And this is a smart thing by baseball because not everybody, you know, could sit through an entire game. But now if you're like, I'm going to sit down, especially if you start watching this thing at like 9:45 when there's all these games at 7, you're going to be whipping around and you're not going to be watching commercials and you're going to get to these major at-bats.
I'll tell you why I think it might not work in the same way that you just described. On a Sunday at 1, when the Patriots are playing at 1, you don't really watch Red Zone, right? I mean, you kind of check in now and then, but you're watching the Patriots
correct,
game.
Right, correct.
You know, if the game is on, if your team is on, you're watching your game. You're not really on Red Zone.
Yeah.
In all of these markets, their team's going to be on.
Right.
Red Sox are going to be on. You know, in New York, the Yankees game is going to be on.
But I think this has a better chance of getting you away. Because even in like a blowout for the Patriots, I stick with it.
Yeah. Oh, whereas, no, absolutely, because it's one game away.
And with the Red Sox, I just think with the pace for all these baseball games, it's not their fault. It's just the way the sport is. I'd be more willing to, I'm going to watch this, and when they jump in with the Red Sox, I'll have it on. I'm not going to miss any big plays in the Red Sox game because they're gonna show it to me. So I think this does have a chance, but that's still a lot. I mean, if they're going to do this every single night, you think about it, they do it 17 Sundays in the NFL. They put it together. That's going to be a ton of work.
By the way, the executive chairman of this, and I don't know if it's Dazen or Dazen. I don't know.
Okay, me neither.
Is John Skipper, the guy from ESPN.
Jeez.
He's now the guy who made the announcement along with Rob Manfred, and they're going to try their own version of Red Zone.
All right.
I wonder if all the leagues are now going to follow suit. Are they all going to try to? I mean, the NHL Network kind of does it.
Mm-hmm.
NHL Tonight, if they don't have games on.
Yeah.
They kind of whip around and show you highlights of different games. I don't know if the NBA Network does that as much.
NBA TV, they'll have the NBA Tonight Show and they'll jump in on that. But it's not set up in a way like that, which it kind of should be. That'd be great, too.
I mean, when Red Zone came on board, I thought it was going to be an epic failure. My thought was, you're going to give this away for free, no commercials. You're going to take eyeballs away from the games. You're going to hurt the ratings of the games that are on.
Oh, a disaster that way.
Yeah.
Like you're just kind of competing against yourself in a way.
Ultimately, yeah. the network's going to say, wait a minute, you're taking viewers away from our games and giving away the product for free. I was wrong. I mean, it's been a huge,
oh, it's a huge success.
Gigantic success.
And also, it's funny, is there ratings for the NFL Network? Or I don't even know if you really hear much about them. And it seems like it's not, like everybody I talk to watches it, and yet it doesn't seem like it's this monster.
Oh, Red Zone?
Yeah, Red Zone.
I
don't think like as many people as we think watch it. I mean, we're also talking to, you know, diehard sports fans and you know, people that are going to listen to sports radio.
I was going to say, I don't know anybody who doesn't watch it.
Right. It's probably everybody else that you don't talk to.
Well, and as we say every year, more people don't watch the Super Bowl than do.
Yeah, just.
Which boggles my mind.
Yeah,
but,
I don't get it.
What else you got is coming up next. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI. A little emotional, you probably can tell. A little wistful thinking about the fact that I will never sit in this studio again.
Sad.
Or in this building again.
Really sad.
We're out of here.
Yeah, gonna miss it.
I mean, the station's not out of here till tomorrow, but
right. You
and I are out of here.
That's right.
In just a few minutes. But before we go.
What else you got?
Dale, what else you got? Or you got?
2 years ago today. You know, and Twitter can occasionally be a bit of a cesspool. But 2 years ago, 2 years ago today. One of the great tweets in the history of tweetdom.
One of the best tweets happened 2 years ago today.
Kate Upton, 2 years ago today.
Oh, that's right.
Hey, MLB, I thought I was the only person allowed to bleep Justin Verlander. What two writers didn't have him on their ballot? That was the Rick Porcello winning the Cy Young.
Yeah, she was upset.
She got really hot about it.
She tweeted this year, too.
That was
Kate Upton getting fired up.
We were talking about it.
She tweeted this year, and then she said something about it, and then she wrote, like, right within the same tweet, she's like, Justin wants me to let everybody know that I'm joking. Like,
well,
she said something.
It's funny because Blake Snell wins the Cy Young, right?
Yes.
And he tweets out that he actually got the notice from MLB the next day that he was being drug tested. You know, they give you the notice.
Oh, my God.
And he put the initials KU on it for Kate Upton. But I guess he did actually get the drug test notification.
Well, good for him.
All right.
What else you got?
How about this? We know that Patrick Mahomes is young, but we didn't know that he's 6 years old because he likes ketchup on his steak. But Heinz has
heard
about this.
This has been a gigantic controversy this week, by the way.
It's a great burn right there.
Thank you. I could barely get it out, but there it was. Patrick Mahomes has been given an offer by Heinz Ketchup. He says, if you give us 57 touchdowns,
which would be the record,
we'll give you Heinz on your steak for life. So this guy could get ketchup for life. I'm a big ketchup guy, but just not on my steak.
So there was the whole thing about him putting ketchup on his steak, and people were disgusted by it. And then it turns out that he also apparently puts ketchup on his mac and cheese.
Yes.
Now, that almost caused
that
as much
doesn't bother me as much.
No, that
as
one
the
makes
steak.
More sense.
That one doesn't bother me. What I do is I don't admit that I do ketchup on my mac and cheese, but if there's ketchup on the plate, say you're eating like a hot dog and there's mac and cheese and ketchup,
just a little dip.
Well, if it sort of slides into it, it's not the end of the world. So I don't pour it on there. But if it's on the same fork bite, that's fine.
If you're grilling a steak at home, you know, and you get the steak all done, and you go, oh, crap, I got no steak sauce.
Then grill it well enough or good enough, not well.
In those circumstances?
No, never. Eat the steak as it is.
I would absolutely.
Make sure you cook it really nice.
I mean, it's not my first choice.
It's the last choice. Throw it out of there. It belongs on everything else. Burgers. I'll throw it on dogs. I know some people get all hot and bothered about that, but throw it on a dog. Throw it on mac and cheese if you need to.
What is the problem with ketchup?
What else you got?
I don't know. I don't know why people hate that so much.
Rossi, are you saying you have something?
Yeah, Rossi's got something. Rossi,
what's your baseman?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, how's your toe after
Rossi, your mic's on.
Yeah, my toe hurts, but yes, just quickly, tomorrow, I'm a huge Notre Dame fan. I've been for life, starter jacket, starter it all. They are wearing their pinstripe uniforms.
And they are hideous.
These are trash.
They are puke. They make me want to puke. Yeah. And they are a terrible uniform because they're playing their Shamrock Series game at Yankee Stadium. Everywhere they go, they went to Ireland a few years ago. They made a whole Irish uniform for it.
I remember that.
They've played in different stadiums. They theme it around. But this one is just, it is a tough look. Pinstripes on the pants.
Nope.
Even their helmet, they have like a nice matte looking helmet, but the circle that has the ND in it has pinstripes in there.
Awful.
I mean, it's Notre Dame and Syracuse. Do you root for the earthquake?
Whoa.
No.
You can't pick one of those.
Dale, you like that guy? Remember that guy called us and told us that they didn't want the Patriots playing in California because of the earthquakes? Is that what you're looking for?
Same guy.
By the way, I thought we were California was going to be gone by now, according to him.
No, maybe not. Maybe he screwed up the dates.
All right, we got to get out of here. OMF's coming up next.
Have a good weekend.
You will be at the new studio on
Sunday morning
for NFL
9
Sunday.
O'clock, yes.
We're at Gillette Stadium on Monday for NFL Sunday. You guys have a good weekend. Bye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you for stopping by. Goodbye.
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 Goodbye.